In the third week of the tumultuous presidency of Donald Trump, Congress is slow to confirm his nominees, and the administration, like nearly all of its predecessors, will be late with a budget submission that was in theory due yesterday. Here with an update and a look ahead, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. And the first Monday in February is when budgets are supposed to be due. I don't think the Obama administration made that deadline even in the middle years. But
I don't think so. I'm not sure they ever made it, but in their first year in office, I believe they turned in the full budget on May 7th.
So about 93 days after it was due.
Who's counting? But yeah, there is something called the skinny budget, which is sort of the nickname on the Hill and at OMB for sort of a sketch, the big picture. And previous presidents have gotten that, have unveiled that when they've either made their initial speech to Congress. It's not called a State of the Union, but by tradition, presidents come to the Hill after they've been in office around a month, like the President Trump is going to do, and sketch out sort of big priorities. But we're not even sure that that's going to happen because of the delay in confirming Congressman Mick Mulvaney of South Carolina to be the new head of the Office of Management and Budget.
You would think, though, that having that skinny picture or the overall view, whatever you want to call it, would be something you would do during transition so you'd be kind of ready to hit the ground rolling with priorities for when you do have people in place.
You would think so, but as we have learned from watching this new administration and the transition, it was a very tiny staff that was trying to do a whole lot. And clearly they didn't think that this was a priority. They thought other executive actions were the priority. And it's an interesting turn of events because right after the election, you may recall, Republicans in Congress were making some effort during the opening days of the lame duck session to finish the fiscal 2017 appropriations process before Christmas with a so-called omnibus bill. They were reporting some decent progress. And then Mike Pence, then the vice president-elect, came to the Hill and said, no, don't do that. We would like to negotiate on the fiscal 17 budget once President Trump is in office. Now he's been in office for 2.5 weeks. There's no sign that he's taking any interest in the 2017 budget at all.
So what does that do then for the process by which Congress does its work? Because 2018 is what they're supposed to be working on next.
Should be on 2018. The 2017 appropriations are, as probably many listeners know, on a continuing resolution that lasts until the end of April. It is that date was chosen in part to give, you know, the new Trump administration, quote, plenty of time. It was chosen to somewhat coincide with the spring congressional recess so that the recess could be kind of a reward carrot if Congress got the omnibus or even done before taking a break. Now it seems, I would say, the likely outcome, don't know this for sure yet, but I think you'd have to bet that the likeliest outcome would be that the current CR will be replaced by another CR, probably with some anomalies, with a few changes to reward or punish things that President Trump's particularly interested in. But in general, it'll end up being a full year CR. But even then, if that doesn't happen till April, of course, by April, in theory, the appropriations committees are already having plenty of hearings and getting ready to start marking up the bills for the new year that begins in October. And I think that's going to be a tough timetable to stick with.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call. And what about those confirmations? I mean, there was a couple. They're eking out bit by bit, but it seems to be going slower and the hill getting steeper.
It does. I would say that the confirmation of Betsy DeVos looks like it's supposed to happen on Tuesday, probably with the tie-breaking vote of Vice President Pence. First time in American history that a vice president has had to come to the Senate to cast a tie-breaking vote to get a presidential cabinet secretary confirmed. First time that the vice president's had to cast a tie-breaking vote of any kind since Dick Cheney. Joe Biden went 8 years without ever having to do this duty. After that, it looks like Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, is the next one that Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, wants to take on. Looks like nothing's going to stop him. But in each case, the Democrats, while they can't stop any of these secretaries, because, to remind, it was the Democrats themselves who changed the rules about filibustering cabinet secretaries and lower court federal judges. So they are now reaping what they sowed. They can't stop any of these people with purely Democratic votes, but they can slow it down. They can slow them down, and that seems to be what they're out to do.
I guess it's a sign of how far things have gotten, that even before that filibuster rule was changed, President Obama got all of his nominees through without it, with enough Republicans to secure those votes.
That's true, and President George W. Bush did with almost, gosh, if there was an exception, I can't remember. I guess George W. Bush came close to losing the vote on John Ashcroft, his first nominee for attorney general. That was kind of the one fight that got picked. Bill Clinton had picked one fight by nominating a couple of very troubled initial attorney generals. But yes, there has not been a filibuster to kill a cabinet secretary in a very, very long time, even in the days when the filibuster was at full ripeness. The old sort of ways of doing things in the Senate were you at least allowed a straight up or down vote.
Kind of makes you wish for the old days of Burt Lance, maybe, where there's somebody could really have a good scandal coalesce around. And David, one other thing I wanted to ask you about is something that the Roll Call reported a few days ago, which is that the Pentagon, there was a panel appointed for the Pentagon to look at the nuclear options, not the Senate filibuster one, but the actual nuclear options for the Defense Department. And they're looking for more tactical weapons. They're looking for greater nuclear capabilities.
That's right. And I'm glad we did that story. I think it is at a very, very high top level, sort of outside the Beltway. I think the notion of going for more nuclear weapons capabilities, this is something that President Trump did talk about during the campaign. I think that given the approval rating that he is working with, which is to say the lowest of any new president in the history of modern polling, there's going to be some resistance in Congress to increasing American nuclear capabilities while Mr. Trump is the president.
But this panel actually existed before this recommendation.
It did. So this panel's been around a while, but I'm sort of looking beyond the story of the moment and saying that I think in general, the mix of nuclear capability and this administration is going to become, if it's not a front page political story yet, but I think it's going to become one.
Because the Defense Science Board, which is the panel we're talking about, is typically not getting into the political realm, isn't it?
Oh, that's true. Yes. No, I think they were playing this straight, and they're talking about global threats and challenges around the world. I just think that yes, they are honest brokers, and they were taking a sober look at the state of the world. But I just think that if the president grabs this recommendation and tries to do something with it in terms of changing the defense budget, I think there's going to be a problem.
So it's likely that the Pentagon leadership is going to say, okay, thank you for that report. Let's just leave it in the drawer for now.
Potentially.
David Hawkins is senior editor of Roll Call. A busy week ahead. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
And you can find links to more coverage and this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.